Now, a conversation with Federal Communications Commission Chairman Michael Powell. We spoke today about the quality of American broadcasting, the quality of the programming. Congress and the FCC have been cracking down on indecency recently, and the technical quality. One of Chairman Powell's favorite projects at the FCC is encouraging people to make the conversion to digital television.
We are urging people. We think there's a lot of confusion in the market, that the government can be a trusted partner in helping consumers work through the dizzying array of choices of television sets, how to get them hooked up, how to find the content. We think that's important because we also think there's an independent public interest in ending the transition. It's not just about selling television sets. It's important to get the spectrum that broadcasters are using now for analog television back so that we can use that spectrum for public safety, first responders, police and fire departments. And we also think that there's growing innovation in internet broadband that uses spectrum, and we would really like to invest some of that spectrum in that development in the market too.
I want to ask you not just about the technical quality of television, but about what we actually see on television.
Yes.
Indecent broadcasts in television and radio. Did Janet Jackson make an aggressive regulator out of you who had said at your confirmation you didn't want to be the nation's nanny at the FCC?
I don't think that she did. I think indecency is one of the most delicate areas that the government involves itself in. The American public have urged their Congress to pass a statute, which we enforce, that holds indecent content or profane content over the air to be enforceable. The FCC is not a federal bureau of indecency investigation. We don't sit around watching TV and go after people, but we do respond to public complaints. And I can tell you, in the 7 years I've been there, the amount of complaints from the American public in television has increased exponentially. Janet Jackson incident alone, we received over 550,000 complaints. In 2002, there were a total of 111 on television. I think there's a much more mobilized public. I think there is a more active public about these things. And the commission has been, I think, forced to respond to those complaints and be more aggressive.
But it seems as if in a variety of ways, the standards for indecency are being looked at much more aggressively. For example, when Bono made his off-color remark at the Golden Globes, that, I gather, at one time was regarded, the term of art was, it was a fleeting remark. It wasn't a concentrated discussion of sex acts on the air. No longer a defense that it was a fleeting remark. Just as bad, I gather, at the FCC nowadays.
Yeah, you know, you raise something that I think is an important distinction for everyone to understand. There are two things that the congressional statute forbids. One is, quote, indecent content, and one is profanity. And the real interesting thing is there's the debate whether the remark was indecent, mm-hmm. which usually requires how it's used in context. You look at the context. In that sense, the ruling looks very strict. But the problem with the statute is it also says profanity. And if the F word isn't profane, I don't know what word in the English language is. And so in many ways, the commission had never really struggled with that part of the statute. It had never been presented quite that squarely, the question about the use of a single word. I'm uncomfortable about it, but I do believe that it would be hard for me as a public official not to hold that the use of a word like that did not constitute profanity under the statute.
This is a tough problem. Here's an example. A reporter is covering a combat operation in Iraq. U.S. Marines or soldiers are talking to each other over their radios. The F word figures in their conversation. It's part of a report. Profanity, worthy of a fine if you put that on the air because a child might have heard it?
Yeah, I think that example, sports examples, many of those examples point out the difficulty of that legal policy. I am obligated to apply it as it's written, but I will say that I think it is quite important for the government to have limiting principles on these things. That's why I think I personally am a deep believer that context is critical, and I do think that there's mitigating circumstances that should be taken into consideration. Did the broadcaster have reasonable protections in place? Was it a scripted program or a spontaneous program? I think we're wrestling to develop new precedents that come up with that balance, and we still have a ways to go. But I think your example is a fair one.
But even a scripted report of the example that I give, in which the sound is recorded and the journalist says, I think to convey what this is like, if this is an experience of what this incident is like, I can't sanitize the vocabulary of the guys who were engaged in a firefight. That works against the reporter because there was a conscious decision. If it had been a NASCAR winner blurting something out live after winning a race, that would be a better, a more defensible use?
Well, one of the calibrating factors that the commission has is something can constitute liability, but the remedy can be adjusted. I mean, I don't think that it means that you necessarily get a $1 billion fine. It may mean you get no fine. For example, in the case of Bono, the commission found liability and issued no fine against NBC for the action.
I want you to explain something to our listeners who might be consumers of different media. This week, a very famous American shock jock announced that he will move his program to a direct satellite broadcaster. Once he does that, as I'm saying, he's home free. He has nothing whatever to do with any of these regulations if he broadcasts his material through another medium. On another channel, everything the FCC is doing is trying to encourage more broadband, more mixture, more total penetration of all these different media, and yet many of the things that arrive in people's homes through the same television set are not regulated in any fashion in the way that the other things are.
Yes, and I think that's an excellent observation, one that is increasingly troubling to me as a thinker about this area. But it flows from a simple fact, which is many, many years ago, the Supreme Court has held that the First Amendment is a different standard when applied to free over-the-air broadcasting than it is on other commercial medium. For example, newspapers, cable television, satellite television, the Supreme Court has been very, very clear that it enforces very aggressively the First Amendment restrictions, which say the government shall pass no law infringing the freedom of speech, where it makes more accommodations in broadcasting. So ironically, to my son, when he goes from Channel 7 to 107, the First Amendment just changed.
Channel 7 is regulated. That's going to be an FCC license to a station to broadcast. It arrives at your son's eyeballs through the same television set that cable channel number 107 does. That's totally unregulated.
That's exactly right. And years ago, when these rulings were first issued, broadcasting was unquestionably the most dominant medium, and it didn't seem to be that problematic of a question. But today, 87% of Americans pay for TV. They don't take it over the air. Increasingly, the majority of Americans are on these other platforms that are not subject to this jurisdictional reach.
Well, do you see the public interest in this world as being extending the kind of regulation that we have for over-the-air broadcasting to cable channels or direct satellite broadcast or other media that are on the internet, for example?
I actually believe that it will have to evolve. I think a simple application of the broadcasting approach to the multimedia is actually fruitless. And I think you're going to have to think about it more in terms of ensuring that Americans have a wide variety of choices, that you have fair disclosure about things, that consent is freely given. But in a free society, I think at the end of the day, you give consumer choices, but we're not going to be able to make them for them.
Michael Powell, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Michael Powell is chairman of the Federal Communications Commission.